I tell you what, you know, my son is funny because, like, it's like around 5:30, I'm getting ready to leave the house. And he's like, where you going, Daddy? Oh, I gotta go to church. I'm not going to church tonight? I'm like, well, Joshua, you have dry, crusted snot all over your face. No, buddy, you're not going to go to church. Now, he didn't go to school today. He didn't ask if he's not going to go to school. That was fine. He was, I'm missing school. It's all right. He's missing church, and he's pausing about that. He was like, whoa, am I going to church tonight? I'm like, nah, buddy, you're sick. You can't go tonight. He's like, all right. I'll see you tomorrow. He's like, okay, I guess, you know. So, you know, at least there's some seeds being planted. So thank you to all the Kingdom kids. Thank you, parents. That's us investing in my son. You know, I'm pretty much every time somebody comes up, they're mostly, and I'm going to just go with faith. Everybody's preaching what they're living out, what they're studying out. You know, very rarely will you find somebody that didn't do any kind of research. They're just going to just wing it, right? It's something that they're feeling passionate about, or they're convicted about, or something they're studying out, and they just want to share it. Well, tonight, that's what's happening. Like, I'm living this stuff out right now. Because my situation, as I continue to share with you guys, it's bleak from the outside view. It's looking bleak. But I found a lot of encouragement with these convictions that's just been carrying me through the 20 years of being a disciple. And so they may not be new things to you guys, but it's something that, for me, it's pushing. I mean, it's got me going on level 10. And so I'm hoping that some of you guys tonight aren't doing awesome. Because usually you're like, I hope everybody's doing well. No, tonight I hope some of you are not. Because if you're doing well, then it's hard to be better than well, right? Like, if you're already, you know, if you're healed, you know, you can't be more healed, right? But if you're sick and you get a little bit of aspirin or a little bit of medicine, there's refreshing. And so I'm hoping tonight that some of us aren't doing well. I'm hoping some of us tonight are barely making it. I mean, you dragged yourself here. And you just, because if that's where you are, you're at a good place. You're at a good place right now because you have the opportunity to be refreshed. Not by me, not by any special antics, but by God's word, by the fellowship, by the spirit, and all of the above. So I want to ask you guys this question. How much value do you put in your word? I mean, your word, meaning, you know, you tell somebody you're going to do something. How much value is in that? Is it to the point where they can rely on that word? Or do you have to add an incentive to that word? Like, I'll be there for real. I promise you I'll be there. Or how about, I swear, like I used to, before I became Christian, I used to swear all the time on something, you know. I swear on my mother's grave, I'll do this, or I will never do that. I had to add incentives to my word. You know, in this world, there's a lack of value in words, right? A lot of people, and I've been a victim of this, and I've been, you know, the perpetrator and the victim of this, where my words kind of just fall short, you know, where it needed incentives. It needed an extra something, you know. And then when I commit to something, you know, I don't follow through. And I've experienced that a lot. I've experienced a lot of words being given to me, and there's little regards if it's going to be, you know, if it's going to be fulfilled or not. You know, like, think about when you was growing up as a kid, right? Tell me if this sounds familiar to you. I promise we'll go next time, right? Or I promise I'll be at your next game, right? How about I promise I'll get you a new one after you've broken it, after you've got all the warnings that you shouldn't do this and it breaks, and your parent says, I'll get you a new one, I promise. Or my favorite, we're only going to be there 5 minutes. Oh, I used to hate that. I knew it was a trap. When I showed up, we're not there 5 minutes. I'm missing Voltron. I'm missing all the cartoons. We there all day long. If it's at my cousin's house, if we're going food shopping, someone of mine would take me. We're only going to be there 5 minutes. and it ends up being a whole day. I mean, it's funny, but that's our word, right? We gave our word, but we don't really consider if it's going to be fulfilled or not, or we don't care if it's fulfilled or not. We just want to get on to the next thing, right? And sometimes people are sincere. You know, sometimes they're genuine. They really wanted to fulfill this word. But sometimes circumstances outside of your control takes place, right? Like, I'm committed to being at this place, at this event, at this time. So committed that I'm leaving work, or I'm planning to leave 20 minutes ahead of time. Just so that when I arrive there, I got 15 minutes to do this, to tie my shoelace, to say what's up, and then be there. And then what happens? Your boss says, mandatory overtime. You got to stay and fulfill it. You got to complete this project. Or you get in the car and every lane is closed. All of a sudden, when you get in the car, all of a sudden, every lane is closed up. Helicopters are flying around. You are not going to make it to this event or to this thing that you've committed to. Right? But you were sincere about it. But in the end, your word was not fulfilled. You have not kept your word. There are many promises that God has given to mankind. So much so that I don't have enough time this week to go ahead and analyze each and every promise. But the one thing that I see when it comes to our God and when it comes to his word is that it's been fulfilled or will be fulfilled, period. Period. It's either it's already happened or it's going to happen.
Right.
Thus said the Lord.
Right.
That is it. That is the record he's running on. No, I swear to myself. No, I promise my third unborn child. None of that stuff. It's going to be done if it hasn't been done already. I love technology when it does that to me.
1 second.
And so, talking about promises, talking about God's word, this is something for me that I'm actually living out right now in my current situation. And what I'm talking about is the promises that God has made and fulfilled in my life thus far. I mean, there are more things God is going to fulfill, but I'm not there yet. Tomorrow hasn't arrived yet. But what I do know is what's already happened in my lifetime. And so, there are three benefits that I've found that when it comes to standing on God's promises that I've found to be a benefit to me. One is that I've found peace.
Amen.
Two is that I'm strengthened when I stand on God's promises. And lastly, I found hope.
Amen.
Those three factors, those three benefits, and like I said, there can be many benefits to you guys. I mean, like I said, we could sit here all week and count all these benefits. But for me, these three has been the core of what's been getting me through what I've been going through these past few weeks. And, okay, well, you know what? Sometimes technology rolls that way. We're just going to go without it. Number one, peace. Let's look in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Philippians 4, in verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, request to God, and the peace of God, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When I'm anxious, I mean, just thinking about that word alone was enough. I decided to look at some synonyms, some different wordings that might fit what I'm going through sometimes. How about when I'm edgy, right? How about when I'm fearful? Or how about when my spirit is just not quiet, or I'm in distress, or I'm troubled, or agitated? When I'm in those situations, what does God tells me to do? He says, present your requests to him. Present it to him. Not only present it to him, he says, do it in petition. Meaning, you know, it's like when I think of petition, I think about having a cause, you know, like a political cause or something. And I'm getting each and every one of you guys, I'm trying to get you to sign on board with this. I'm trying to get this change. Are you with me? Yes. Sign your name on this. And so I'm gathering. So not only am I going to bring this request for myself, but I'm you know, coming to you guys and asking you guys to pray for me. Help me come to the Lord with this. Because when I do that, look what God says. What does he say? He says, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He says, God says he will, he says, once I do these things, once I present my anxieties, once I present my troubles, once I present my unquietness, my fears, my troubles, when I'm agitated, once I present this and I've gotten a petition with it, he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to guard your peace. There we go. Thank you, whoever did that for me. Peace. He says he's going to guard my peace. Guard it. You know, other words, he's going to police it. He's going to guard. He's going to have angels around my peace. Because that's what he wants. And guess what? It's a promise. It's not advice where it's optional. You know, he said, hey, I might. No, he says, if you do these things, I promise. This is what he's saying. I promise I will guard your heart and your minds in Jesus. Amen. If I could just, like, if I could just capture the moment of peace, for me, it will look something like this. Amen. That's what peace looks like to me, for me, because I'm a water guy. And I'm not an ocean, I'm not a beach guy. I don't like all the waves and moving around. I like still water, you know, where I could just sit and just let my thoughts just roam where the mountains go. You know, just a little bit of trees, just a little something to kind of provide me shade. I want to be in the shade too. So I'm in Florida, so, you know, I don't like to be in that sun. So I want some shade. So I'm under the shade. You know, I'm under the shade. You know, maybe I have a little chair, maybe not. You know, maybe there's some birds there. I don't know. But everything is calm. That's what God's going to protect. He's going to protect that calmness that I have in him. That's a promise. And for me, boy, calm. I need some calm. Because right now, my job situation is horrific. I mean, it's like a soap opera. There's backstabbers. There's you know, he said, she said. I'm gonna, you know, sabotage the work so that this person can leave. Today, my manager, he signed his letter of resignation. He's turning it in tomorrow. He's gone. He said, that's it. There's no peace here. I'm out. And so I'm in this whirlwind right now. And I'm like, okay, he leaves. There's only two of us in this department. We're responsible for the entire Southeast. He leaves. That's it. It's just me. And so I'm gonna have to take on whatever I'm doing and whatever he was responsible for. That's not peace to me. That's peace right there. That's where I want to be. You know, but that's what it is. But God says to present it to him, and that's what I'm doing. I'm presenting. You know, not only am I presenting, I'm gathering petitions. You know, I'm talking about it. I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm not, you know, keeping it quiet. No, hey, this is what I need. I need prayer. Will you sign this petition? Yes, brother. All right, let's go. I got two. Can I get three? I mean, because I want this peace. I want this peace, guys. I don't want calamity. I want peace. And that's the promise that God has given me. In Isaiah 26, it says in verse 3, it says, you will keep in perfect peace. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Do you today, guys? Do you trust? Do you trust in God's promises today? I'm not talking about yesterday. I'm not talking about when you first became a disciple and everything was awesome to you. I'm talking about today. Today, do you believe, do you trust his promises made to you? Today. Right now, this moment, while you're sitting there listening. Because if you don't trust it, if you don't trust that God is going to come through, whatever time it is, if you don't trust it, man, you got a lot of calamity coming your way. Because I know I have. I know when I start walking backwards, forget about it. I'm, you know, everything is happening and nothing is making sense to me. Standing on the promises of God brings peace, but with conditions. That's what I've discovered. It comes with conditions. I have to pray in all situations. All situations. Minor, major, in between. All. I have to. I got to do that. I got to remain steadfast. I can't start leaning to the left and leaning to the right. And if I do that, I better make sure I surround myself with great clouds of witnesses. I better make sure I'm calling you guys out and helping me to stay on point. Because if I lose sight of that, I forfeit the promise that was made to me because I haven't met the condition. Right. And I got to trust. I have to trust God's promises. Amen. That's all I have. Amen. I don't control what my boss is going to do. I don't control what his bosses are going to do. I don't control I don't control those things. It's out of my hands. I just got to simply trust that God has a plan for me and he's came through for me in the past and he's going to come through again. That's what I believe. That's what I got to hold on to. Right. And that's what's kept me. I'm going to be honest with you. That's what's kept me. It's been the promises. It hasn't been my current situation because it's not happy. It's not all good. It's all bad. You know, it's all rough. It's all unknown. But what I do know is God's promises. That's what I know. Moving on to strength. This is another benefit of standing on God's promises is the strength that I gain when I hold on to those things. 2 Chronicles 16. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Fully committed. When I'm fully committed, not half stepping, not, you know, I'm going to do the bare minimum. Sometimes we do. I'll be honest with you. I know I have. There's been, I promise you, these past 4 weeks, midweeks, I had to drag myself to midweek because I've been so spiritually drained, trying to think about what I'm going to do next. I don't want to be unemployed or I don't know what's going on. And I'm forcing myself to come through these doors. And when I come through these doors, what ends up happening is the first brother I see, I end up throwing up on him. You know, I do. I just throw up on him. You know, where's Dan? Is Dan in here? One of the weeks, Dan was the first person I saw. Blah, I just threw up on him. Sorry, I did. I threw up on him. And then when I did, I felt better. My situation didn't change. It was the same situation, but I got it out. You know, I had an ear to listen. You know, I found strength in that. You know, another week. It was another week when I was talking to Bishop Rouse. Just, listen, I saw him. I know he's my bishop, but I threw up on him. I said, this is what's going on. This is what I'm going through. And just like the man he is, steadfast, calm, even keel, you know, he didn't roll with my emotions. He stayed steadfast on it. And he reminded me of some things that I needed, you know, which led me back to the promises. I'm committed. You know, when you're going through stuff, it's easy to just let go a little bit. You know, ease off the throttle just a bit. It's easier to do that. You know, some of us wear multiple hats in this room. You know, we're ushering, we're serving, we're doing this, we're doing all that. And then sometimes when life gets you and we're not standing on those promises, we take off one of those hats, you know, and then we take off another hat and then we take off another hat. And all of a sudden, we're bald. We ain't wearing no hats. We ain't doing nothing. I'm not praying. I'm not reading. I'm not encouraging anybody because I'm not getting encouraged. I'm not serving no more. Last year, I was servant of the year. This year, forget it. Break time. That's what happens. That's what happens. But God says he strengthened those whose hearts are fully committed to him. That's a promise. When you're committed to him, he will strengthen you. He finds ways, whether it's through his words, which ultimately where it should come from. But for extra credit, we got the fellowship. We got the fellowship. That's where I get my strength sometimes. Sometimes, yes, I'm reading. Yes, sometimes I'm doing these things, But there's the extra credit that I get is when I'm with the body. Amen. When I'm around the brothers, when I'm saying what's going on, sometimes they don't have nothing to say to me. Like, I ain't got no answer, bro. I'm sorry. I'll pray for you. You know, we'll pray together. That's okay. Sometimes you don't got to have the words to say. But there's still strength when we're together. There's still strength when we can lean on one another and encourage one another. And so for me, during these times, it's all of the above approach for me. Yes, I'm reading. I'm getting my strength. I'm staying positive. I'm trusting. But I'm also utilizing the brothers. I'm utilizing this fellowship because I know that I need the strength to get me through. But I got to be committed. You know, I think about the military. You know, you think about the Army. I looked on their website. I don't know if I have it on here, but I'll read it to you. It says, joining the military is a big commitment by both you and the military. It says, it's a commitment that is not to be taken lightly. Most first-term enlistments require a commitment to 4 years of active service and 2 years of inactive service. That's the commitment for the military. But we've signed up for something that's lifetime. There is no back door. There isn't. So if you're weak, you got to get strong. That's it. There's no sign out. There's no sign out sheet. You know, we got to get strong. And this is where it comes from. It comes from the one who gave it to us. It comes from in companies with what we have in here. We got to utilize this stuff. You know, like I said, my job situation is crazy. And for the most part, like I said, I can't control it. But I know that I'm not the only one. I know that there are some of us in this room, it may not be work-related, but it may be something else that is out of your control. It's life, it's health, it's circumstance after circumstance. And you just can't seem to get ahead of it.
Right.
I know it. If it's not going to be this, it's going to be that. But the same applies. The strength is to those who are committed. And I know in this room there are a few of us who are not. Meaning, you know, we haven't decided to become disciples yet. And so you think about all these promises. These are for disciples only. Not necessarily. There are promises that are in the scriptures that are for those who are willing. Those who are willing just to make that good confession. That promise is for anyone, black, white, handicapped. It doesn't matter where you are in life. Doesn't matter what status you're in. That promise is for anybody and is available to anyone who wants that. And so no one is excluded in this room when it comes to God's grace and God's mercy and God's strength and God's promises. No one's excluded.
That's awesome. That's good.
Matthew 18:20. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. That's a promise from Jesus. That's not an advice. That's not a noteworthy saying. That's a promise. Jesus is in this room because I count more than two people in here.
Right. Yeah.
If my math is correct,
yeah, it is.
There's more than two of us in here. So that promise applies.
Oh, amen.
That promise applies. So there's no Lone Rangers. There's no Lone Ranger spiritually. If you're a Lone Ranger, you can't use that promise. Can't use that. You got to find another one. So you got to go find another person so that there's two of us so this promise can be fulfilled for you.
Amen.
And I utilize this promise. I do. I mean, I try so hard to try to gather myself around brothers. Whether it's physically, meet at Starbucks, whether it's on a phone, hey, let's pray together.
Amen.
Sometimes I fly. I'm part of this D group that we've been using. We've been meeting for 10 years now. And every year, one of us hosts a weekend of a men retreat. And so either I fly down to Miami 1 year, or 1 year they fly up to Atlanta. Or I fly down to Orlando where the other brother is. We do it. And so what I'm saying is these promises apply. And I plan to use all of them. It's like, you know how people, when they have taxes, they try to find every little tax break. You want to get all of that. You want all your money back. I want all of it. So I'm trying to utilize as much as possible to be strengthened by God's promises. I got to be fully committed. You got to be fully committed. Hope. It's funny when you find hope in the darkest hours. When all the chips is down, when it seems like there is no other option other than to give in to whatever that is. Whether it's given to any particular sin, whether it's to give in or give up your salvation and walk away from what you've once professed. But it's amazing, it's when you're at the last point where you don't think you can go any further, hope seems to arrive. Hope is not late. Hope is not, you know, behind schedule. Hope is on time. Hope is always on time. And that is what I found. That's one of the promises I've stand on. Because I face a lot of dark hours. Right now, it's my job situation. Tomorrow, it'll be something else. It will be. It's going to be substituted for something else. But I know that hope will arrive at the right time. June 2005, my wife was 9 months pregnant with Kayla. And she was sitting in this back seat right there. She was in the car with her sister and her brother-in-law. And they were driving, and they came to, you know, the light intersection. It was red. And then that light turned green, which means you can go now. And so they went. And so an SUV said, I have a red light, but I still want to keep going. And smashed right into that car. That my wife, who was 9 months pregnant, and my unborn child was in. I was at work at the airport when this happened, when I got the call. My car wasn't even parked at the airport. I had to park three stops before the airport to get to my car. So I have to run to the train station. I have to get on the train. I have to wait for the train to show up. I have to get on the train. I have to go three stops north, get into my car, and I have to take every red light. Yes, I took red lights. I did 100 and something miles an hour because I was in my darkest hour. I thought I was going to lose my wife, my unborn child. We just got married about a year ago. And I get to the hospital, and I rush through the room, and my wife is covered in blood. And it's a dark hour. It's a dark hour. But like I said, hope always shows up.
Amen.
That's it. Yeah. Hope always shows up at the right time.
Amen.
Baby was born healthy, as you know. She's 10 years old now. Doing great. She's beautiful. She's smart. She wants to know God in her own time. Sometimes she drives me crazy. But she wants to play basketball. She's on the team, which I love basketball, so that's a daddy-daughter time. But all that because hope showed up on time. So when I say that it's not just about the ins and outs of your life, it's about God's promises. You got to stand on God's promises.
Amen. That's right.
There's a psalm that I want us to read tonight. It's in Psalm 77. I found this psalm when I was unemployed. And I was unemployed for about 2 years. And it was difficult, you know, because I'm a proud man. You know, I've been working since I was 16. Always held a job, always excelled in every position, always moved up. And so this time period was very difficult for me to understand. Like, why I can't find a job? Or why, you know, what's going on? And so I found this psalm, and this psalm was just, it reached me at a point where I knew that it was God really trying to encourage me. And so what I want to do tonight, I want to read this chapter, but I'm not going to read it. I'm going to have some of you guys read it out loud, because I just think there's more power when we're truly involved and we're really into the word tonight. So in Psalm 77, can I get somebody to read the first, read 1 through 6. Okay, stop there. Somebody pick up 8 to 10, please.
As his unfailing love vanished forever, as his promise failed for all time, has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High.
Okay, somebody finish up, please.
I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
Amen. Amen. I mean, think about what's going on with this person. In verse 1 and 2, it says, talks about crying out. He's in distress. No sense of comfort. I mean, I've experienced that, and I know that we've experienced that. At some point, we've experienced these times. Sleepless nights, verse 3 through 6. Sleepless nights, weak in spirit, drifting back to the days when he doubted God. Drifted back. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that theme sound familiar when you're at that point and you start looking at the other side of that grass and it starts to look a little greener all of a sudden? 7 through 9, more doubt. Doubt on top of doubt. But the most important verse to me was in verse 10. He chose to remember what God has done in the past. Choice.
Amen. Good.
Choice. Everything after that verse was what God did. Things that he possibly seen or heard from his forefathers. All the things that God has fulfilled. If we sat tonight and says, okay, guys, it actually, I want, hopefully we have some time that you guys get to talk. If not, moving on. But if you just do a catalog of all the answered prayers and promises that God has kept for you, forget the world and all the splendor, just what you recognize, surely you will find hope in that. Surely you will find hope for the future. Because tomorrow's not here. Remember, God, there are some promises that hasn't been fulfilled yet. There are some plans in your life that hasn't been revealed to you yet. So all you have is today and what happened in the past. And this writer, he decided to remember what God has done. And so for me, in my dark hours, when it's time to standing on God's promises, that's what I do. That's what I'm doing right now. I can't worry about right now. I don't control right now. My job is crazy. Yes, things are out of order. Yes. But you know what? I remember when I was unemployed, and this job that I got now came at the right time. Amen. I remember when I ran to the hospital and my daughter and my wife were saved, hope came at the right time. You did that, God.
That's right.
I didn't do that.
Right.
I had no control of that. You spared them. You did that, God. And on and on and on. I can recount how many times I've been spared. And there's times that I don't even know about. There are destruction that was waiting for me that I will never know about. Because God protected that. Right? He protected my peace. He said, nah, I'm not even gonna let you know what you just missed. I'm not even going to tell you. Just keep moving forward. Hope. These are things that I've found to guide me. This is the things that I stand on when my darkest hours come. And I understand. I get it. Everybody has them. You know, if you're a parent, there's some dark hours as a parent. You know, you're wondering, man, how am I going to, you know, why is my children not getting this? Or what's happening at school? What's the things that I don't know about that they're doing? Man, that's hard. The unknown. I mean, you see some stuff and you're like, man, I hope he changes that. But there's some other things that you don't even know about. Man, it's hard. I get it. You know, let's even talk about what's in our church. You know, our off-campus ministry. I know what you guys gone through, changing of the guards. That's not easy. That's not easy when you have someone that you look up to and you've built bonds with and they're no longer there and someone comes. It's not easy. But you got through it.
Amen.
You did. And in 10 years from now, you're gonna remember that time when things was kind of rough, but man, we got good, man. Things got better. It's the same thing. 10 years from now, we're going to look back at some of these things and we're going to be like, what are we worrying about? Hope always arrives on time.
Amen.
Always. Always on time. So, my three benefits. And like I said, there are so many other benefits that you can find when you stand on God's promises. But for me, it's finding that peace when I bring it before God. And knowing he's going to protect that peace. He's going to police it. He's going to put guards around it. Because he wants me to remain in that peace. He wants me there. And he wants you there.
Amen.
Strength. There is strength in God's promises.
Yeah.
This is not words that's just flippant, that just comes out and you know, if it's met, it's met. It's not, it's not. You're talking about a God who's batting 1,000. Never failed. Never. You can't even go, but what about that time? No, he didn't fail there because he had a plan. Okay. Can't call him on it. Hope. And what's important about hope is that it gets us looking forward.
Right.
That's the beauty about hope. Because hope, it shows up at a present time, and then it thrusts us to look forward.
Yeah.
Because we know what's coming. Mm-hmm. If all fails, we're going to heaven. Mm-hmm. If my life sucks until I die, I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
I got that hope.
Amen.
I got that to hold on to.
Good.
I do. If everything in my current situation just gets 10 times worse, I got hope in the future.
Amen.
That's what he says in Jeremiah 29. hope in the future. That's a promise. And that's what it is for me, guys. And so, like I said, I know that we all can find things that God has done for us. Choose to remember them. Choose it. Don't allow yourself to drift back of those days when things were... No. Choose to remember the promises that God has fulfilled in your life.
Amen.
You don't have to look far. If you need to look far, you can go in the Hall of Fame, Hebrews chapter 11, and you can read that up if you need extra credit. But if you just need, just for you, just think about the times that God has come through.
Amen.
And that alone should get you through your current circumstances and on to the next.
Amen,
amen, brothers. Thank you so much.
Amen.